Hello, this is the continuation of the Finance Committee, the KPFK Finance Committee from last week, July 8th. I'm Kim Kaufman, I'm the chair. We will be dealing with the budget today.
Today is the
I'm going to take roll. And I believe it's also being streamed on KPFTX for anyone that's interested. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Kim Aaron.
Here.
Alan Beek.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Bella DeSoto.
Here.
Dave Johnson, not here. Steve Kaiser, he said he probably wouldn't be able to make it. Kim Kaufman, I'm here. Michael Novick.
Present.
Janine Rome. Paulina Vasiliev said she was teaching a class today and could not make it. And John Wanger. Not here. So Janine has missed two meetings in a row.
Three.
Bella, stop it. She's missed two meetings in a row. I will contact her and see if she's interested in staying on this committee. And if so, she needs to show up next week.
Okay.
Or at the next meeting.
Last week. Janine was traveling, and she phoned and said she was listening to us, but she couldn't be on the call.
No, that was the week before.
Right.
Or the meeting before. I also set a continuation meeting for next week in case we haven't finished and we want to continue. We are going through a period of... stress, and there's a lot to work out in this budget. So, I'm assuming everybody has reviewed the budget, and who would like to talk? Take a stack.
Bella, staff.
Anyone else? Okay. Go ahead, Bella.
Well, it's not good news, as I have had no opportunity to look at it, to actually dig in the numbers. I was able to reformat the historic template. I sent that out last night, so you have seen it. But I'm afraid I have had no opportunity to look at the numbers, as the numbers are not from historic perspective, as I said before. So that's where that's at for me.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
Fred here.
Go ahead, Fred.
I just wanted to acknowledge that I received an email from Barry. I assume he sent it to the entire committee with the June P&L for KPFK.
Yeah, I saw it, and we'll have to look at it for next time because I'm not going to stop now.
I don't have that
problem with sending stuff right before a meeting. It's not helpful for that meeting, but thank you for sending it. Okay, so.
I'm looking through my email. I don't see anything from Barry.
Oh, maybe he just sent it to me. I'll send it out to everyone. Let me check. I mean, sending it right before a meeting doesn't... I'm sending it to everyone. Okay.
Back.
Pardon me?
Alan Beek would like to speak.
Okay, Alan, go ahead.
Well, I sent my comments on the draft budget in an email called like What's Going On. I hope everybody got it.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I would like to start. If nobody has any other comments, I would like to start here. So let's go down the budget. I hope everybody has it open because I'm going to be going down line by line. Listener support. We need a fund drive chart. I don't know where these numbers are coming from. We need to see where you expect your revenue to come from. And the numbers that you have in here don't really make a whole lot of sense.
They make a hell of a lot of sense to me.
Oh, yeah? Okay. So you're expecting...
Can I interject here?
Sure.
Okay. So for one thing, this budget is kind of like complete because it doesn't include the fund drives that we're going to be taking in July and August. So those particular fund drives were just estimates. Listener support revenue, I cut back almost $800,000 in listener support revenue versus the fiscal year 2020 budget. Right now, the number of fund drive days, we're at 152. I have done some work to the budget. Now I got it down to 143.
This is Ken. Let me interrupt for a second. For everybody's benefit, when you refer to something, can you just tell us where that is on the budget, what row and column?
Okay, sure. Row A.
Thank you.
Column T. In that particular number, $1.8 million for the budget for the year 2021, I have cut back almost $800,000 of listener support revenue from the previous year's budget. Okay, and at the number of fund drive days on this particular budget stands at 152. I have reworked the numbers a little bit, and now it's down to 143. Now, on this particular budget, when we do the budget, on the budget, on the KPFK Pacifica Foundation template, there is no tab that actually can predict the number of fund drive days all throughout the 2021 year. It can only give you a aggregate amount of fund drive days. It won't tell you like how many fund drive days are going to be in October, how many fund drive days are going to be in December, and all that. There's no tab that actually deciphers or reflects that particular number. It will give you the total number of fund drives for the year in aggregate for the total amount. So on this particular budget, it has 152 days, and the listener support is at $1.8 million. Now, the P&L that I just sent Kim, as of the end of June, we're at $1.9 million in listener support revenue. Okay? So, and we still got two more fund drives to go. So by me giving you this budget for 2021, and I'm at $1.8 million, that is a pretty conservative number in relation to what we've been doing in the past. Okay. I also, on Kim's last statement in the last meeting, she had made a complaint about the website income when I reclassed it out of listener support revenue into website income. It was $119,000. Now I reclassed that out, and the new P&L that I gave her now actually reflects what the actual website income is from October all the way through June. So when Kim distributes that P&L, you might want to take a look at that. Anything else? So what I'm trying to get you to see is that although I did give you somewhat of a preliminary budget. There are some changes that need to be done, of course, because we don't know what the final numbers are for Allegiant for the end of July, and we don't know what the performance of the fund drives are going to be for August. We're going to start a fund drive on July 28th into August. So I just made a conservative estimate on that, okay? So, I mean, in a budget, it's different case. It's like you're not getting as much revenue, so you got to cut back expenditures. We basically cut back a lot of our expenditures for the operations, and I know that there needs to be some more cutting, but I don't know where you guys want to make those cuts. So that's my analysis of this particular budget. It's not the etched in stone budget. I mean, it's what I could do with the numbers that were provided for me, and I did the best I could. So that's it. That's all I have.
Thank you. And Michael to the stack.
Okay, and then Kim to the stack. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, so I guess my concern is, it's not related exactly to funny ideas, but it's like I'm looking at what you would call the cash flow, essentially, and, we're looking at operating expenses basically in the vicinity of $230,000 a month, pretty much every month, a little bit higher, a little bit lower any given month. But, for example, you're showing October revenue total only $137,000. November revenue only $143,000, and then anticipating like double that in December. I just don't think those are realistic figures compared to the historical results on fund drives. More typically, we have a strong fund drive in the fall. Yeah, October would have more revenue, and then the December drive.
So you don't agree with the $232,000 for listener support revenue in December? You think that's too high?
No, I'm saying you're showing only 69,000 listeners. The one I'm looking at, unless it's a different budget you're describing.
No, that's the right one. That's the right one.
So in December, I show in row 8, column J, I show $232,531 for listener support revenue for December.
That's not what I'm seeing. The one I was sent has 69,000 in
for October, Barry. For October.
October. Oh yeah, you said December too. I'm saying October's too low, December's too high.
Okay. Yeah.
According to the historical, but I'm saying if you look at the basic point I'm trying to make is this: if you look at total revenue for October, it's $137,000 versus $225,000 in expenses. In November, $143,000 versus $235,000 in expenses. So then you're showing $300,000 in December with a very big drive for December, but that's still compared to $235,000. The cash flow is not going to work on this budget. There's got to be a plan for... historically, the fall fund drive is probably the biggest one of the year. And and then it carries you for a few months. And then, typically what happens is you're a little bit under in terms of income for a couple of months, and then there's a bigger fund drive and you're back up and you have some savings again. But so that's got to get reflected somehow in the budget more accurately to figure out, do we need more cuts in expenses? How do we improve our cash flow? Because otherwise we're going to go back to, saying, well, we just can't make our central service payments. We can't, we can't pay our, utility bills. And the budget has to have a more accurate sense of, month to month, how to cover what we're spending.
I will look into the October number. That number is too low. I know that. So that number's got to be higher.
But what is it based on, Barry? Where is this $70,000? You've had this number in. So
it's formula. It's based on a formula based on our previous fund drive. So that's what.
No, it's not based on a formula. It's based on a mistake, Barry.
It's on a formula.
No, it's not.
Okay,
what formula? Where does this formula come from?
It comes off on another tab called Pledge and Listener Support Collection. That's where it comes from. I'll have to dive into it, and I will have another number for you.
But look at what we did in October this year, 2020, $408,000. And the year before was $440,000. But further, if I take 152 fund drive days and divide them by, no, if I take the 1.8 million listener support and divide it by 152 fund drive days, we're getting $12,000 a day. If I do it with, I messed that up. 1.8. We still get.
You get $12,044.36 per day.
Okay, that's with 143. So it maybe I didn't do 152 the first. Whatever. We're talking about $12,000-$13,000 a day. Right. I don't. You know. I mean 140. Well.
I mean, before COVID-19, we were doing, our average was like $17,000 a day before the COVID-19 struck.
No, it was not. No, it was not. It was below 15. No, it wasn't. Well, show me the numbers.
Some days we got 20,000. Some days we got 17,000.
Right, but we use averages. We use averages for the fund drive, averages for the year. That's how we do. We don't, you know, yeah, you might have a 20K number. You also have a 7,000 day number. We take averages per day for the fund drive. Okay, let's move on. We think there's a problem. Go ahead. I just want to say I would like to see a chart of how many days fund drive you're going to run in October, how many days in November, December, January.
You can't get that, Kim.
I can show you. I can show you, Barry, how to do this.
How going to be in each month. You cannot do because we have days where we go over the number of days in a month.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can't predict that.
Barry. I've done it for 10 years. I can show you how to do it if you want to see. I've done this. Other people on this call have done this. You know, Michael, go ahead.
No, Ken. Can I go?
Oh, Ken.
Oh, go back to Michael. All right, let me go.
I thought I heard Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, Barry, I'm you know, just looking at this honestly. Line 45, column T. This is a budget for 2021, right? That ends in September 2021.
That's correct.
And you have the total net bottom line is a loss of $500,000.
Right.
$411,000.
No. I see 544.
Right.
Column T45 minus 544,279. And then you got something on, you know, an accounting, you know, got bigger numbers underneath that 910,577 minus. But in any event, you're planning on a budget where we're going to lose $500,000.
Right. We're in COVID-19. I mean, we're going to take a hit. It's going to be a big hit for COVID-19. Everybody that is a stay-at-home order, people, 38 million people have lost their jobs. You know, it's going to be a hit. There's going to be a hit. You're right.
Okay. But that's fine. It's not an asteroid hitting the planet. There's other radio stations in our genre who are completing their fund drives in 2 or 3 days. So a calamity is an opportunity. That's a harsh reality, but it's true. So it isn't like we're all on the breadline. The question is, where are the cuts? why are we going to lose $500,000 and just take it, you know, nobly? This is something that has to be handled. We can't lose $500,000.
Because the personnel expense went up instead of going down.
There's a major thing. So if you're the one who drew up the budget, you know, I'm not asking you to be responsible for personnel activity, but you can be responsible for saying we're cutting the staff in half or everybody's going on to do something about it. We can't lose $500,000 a year.
Yeah,
and it's
agree,
not just KPFK. It's Pacifica's going to lose the money.
Well, I know.
They're going to.
And yeah. Now have made a presentation to the union to have a volunteer layoff. And I believe 2 to 3 people have actually showed some interest in doing that. So that would be that adds to it. I mean, that will cut into that number, but you're
well,
right.
Well, we can't.
You have to cut back more than that in order to get that number down. So,
well, there's a famous line from Gone in the Wind where Scarlett O'Hara says, "I've always relied on the kindness of strangers." You got to be more serious than that. We can't do this on who's willing to go home. We can't lose $500,000. Something has to be done.
Ken, it's obvious.
Okay, that's wrong. I just wanted to verify.
No. Thank you very much for that.
$544.
Thank you very much. That's the bottom line here.
Okay.
It looks like, you know, the station is just going to not pay central services. And I'll tell you straight up, it's not going to get approved. It's not going to get approved anywhere in this network. So, you know, let's be clear on that. So,
this is Dave Johnson joining.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Pretty good. Sorry to be late. I took a fall at my house a couple hours ago, and I've just gotten myself together here.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm not too steady on my legs, and I fell in the pool.
Oh, boy.
Coming down on my knee, and then I rolled over and fell in the deep end, and it's just been a nightmare. Anyway, so I'm sorry I'm late, but I'm on the call now.
Okay, we haven't gotten beyond the listener support. Somebody else joined? I see somebody else joined here.
I think that's Ken, Kim. It's listed as Christine. It's listed as Christine Blaisdell, but I don't know who it is.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I guess it's...
My number is a 627 number.
No. That's not how it shows up.
Okay.
Anyways.
Okay.
I guess we'll assume it's Ken. So we're having problems with this listener support. I'd like to see a chart. Let's go to the next line, website income. Now, I haven't listened to this P&L yet, but I'd like to go back and just point out I was trying to chase down this $230,000 from the year before. No, I was trying to chase down the 119. No, I'm going to back up once more. I was looking in 2019 at this March 2019. I'm looking at the last P&L that we got. March, I was looking at it like, and I thought, wow, $520,000 in listener support, that's higher than any other month that year. I don't even think we were in fund drive, or only partially, and that's awfully high. So I went to the bank statements to see what was going on. The bank statement said we actually got $617,000 in income. I was like, wow, well, what's going on? That $100,000 of major income actually came in March, but somehow it didn't wind up on the P&L until June. So I don't really sort of get how that happens. But what I saw in May is that there was a $238,000 deposit that actually didn't show up anywhere. So I'm sort of like, wow, these are sort of funny numbers. But I still never saw, you know.
That is not true, Kim. Everything that comes off the bank statement goes into the P&L, man. You're making accusations that are not true.
It's not an accusation. I'll send you the bank statement. I'll show you when the deposit hit the bank.
You're talking about March of this year? March 2020?
No, March 2019, that $100,000 bequest that I've been talking about for a long time. Like, why it's on the wrong line, because people keep misrepresenting how much bequests we got in last year. So, yeah, I wanted to track that down. Anyways, line nine of this budget, website income, I personally don't want to put it down there. I want to take it off. That's my opinion. I've talked about this website income before, and, you know, that's where I'm at with it. I see on 11 major donor income, you're expecting $215,000. I'm not going to approve that amount. If we get one, we get one. If we get, a bequest or a major donor, that's fine. I think that's I think it's a little too optimistic. What does anybody else think about that? And line number 12, which is donations of under $1,000 a year, which is, sort of an annoying category, that you're also expecting $50,000. And let's see to date how much we got for that. Anyways, anybody else have thoughts on those numbers? Anybody think it's a little, little rosy?
Kim, I am on the stack, aren't I? Somewhere.
No, I haven't heard you.
Really? I asked to be on the stack a while ago before Michael.
I'd like to make a comment about Kim's last statement. For your information, as of June 30th, 2020, donor income under $1,000 is at $62,367.50.
Okay.
That's just a comment I want to make.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Major donor for this year has been this is major donor, $62,000. It doesn't even have $62,000 for a major donor, but there is no minor donor column in the NIDA's P&L, which is all I'm looking at. So all we have is $62,000.
Your column has been cut off. It says major donor income greater than $1,000.
Yes, that's the one I'm looking at, major donor income. I'm looking at NIDA's last, May P&L. Major donor income above $1,000 is $62,000 year to date. And I see no under $1,000. So you got two line items here, one over $1,000, one under $1,000, totaling.
Well, that particular category, that 5001 account, is in donation. That's where it falls into. On the P&L.
So you got $300,000 in these major minor donor income, and we've gotten $62,000 this year. So I wouldn't approve this number. That's all I can say. It's not based on my sort of reality. Let's see, car donations. I don't know.
Fred here.
Yeah.
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 I'd like to ask Barry, how can you predict major donor income? I mean, it's the nature of that item is it's unpredictable to start off with. Some years it's zero, and then some years we are very lucky to have a $500,000 bequest. I'm expecting Barry to say something.
Well, you know,
okay, well, major donor income, you know, I just try to make a conservative estimate of how much we're going to get for major donor income. I mean, it may not be the exact amount, but it's just, that's what I estimated at.
That's guesswork.
I don't think I would approve more than 75 myself, $75,000. That's just my opinion. But anyways, let's move on. Grant income, you have $150,000. I say that's very rosy. But that's a battle probably somebody else will have to fight. But I think it's rosy. Anybody else have a number you don't think should be in there? I mean, we've only gotten $14,000 last year. Anyways,
this number is stack.
Go ahead, Grace.
I am on the stack. Do you remember, Kim?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry, Bella. Since Grace hasn't spoken yet, let her speak, and then you can go after Grace.
I suggest,
go ahead, Grace.
Yeah. I suggest for major donor income and grant income, on each of those line items, we average the amount of income for the last 5 years and use that as the projected number. Or maybe 10 years. You know, that's up to this body. But I think 5 years would probably be adequate.
With all due respect, Grace, I'm probably the only person in this organization that has the last 5 years who could find that out. Pardon me?
If you can do that, it would be very helpful.
No, I will not do that. No, I won't. I'm sorry. Okay.
Imagine that those numbers are in the audit.
No, they're not. They're all mixed up in different ways. They're all mixed up. They don't break it out like we do. Anyways, okay, that's your thought. Maybe, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, what's going on now is different than the last 5 years, you know, relative to where our station is, how low the listenership is, you know, how many fund drive days we have every year. You know, just pick a low number, and so we're not disappointed. If we get more, fun. Go ahead, Bella. Okay. I don't hear Bella. Moving along. Number 21, line 21, grants income non-operating. Non-operating grants do not belong on the operating budget. This is a whole other thing. This is not income to KPFK. It's a pass-through sort of thing. I won't approve any money on this line item because it's not a real grant to KPFK. That's my thought on that. Line 22, studio income. We got $30,000 there. What is our previous income on this? $9,800 in 2019. Okay, well,
I'll be on the back.
Go ahead, Alan.
I get, for the average over the last 2 years, the grant income has been about $900 a month.
Thank you. Okay. I personally not going to get too much into payroll. If others want to do that, that's fine with me. Or at least not today. I'm just doing all the other stuff around it. But on the salaries, I do want to point out that there's no child care on line 59. I think that's a union issue. So that probably should be filled out with something or a reason why it's not. And
it's $300, Jim.
Child care is $300.
Roll 59, column 2.
Well, actually, historically, it's been $890 for at least the last year or two. So, you know, that's like $7,000 a year, more than $7,000 a year, because we're missing October for, so multiply 890 times 12, and that's your number.
This is Dave. I'd like to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Barry, what are we using in daycare right now? I know that Sonali, before she was doing her program from home, a couple of years ago, used to be the generator of some of that child care expense. Do you know if we have an employee that is using or, you know, that we're compensating back on child care at this time?
Well, let's see. Matt had a baby. And let's see, who else? Matt Perez. Oh, and Teddy Klinkskill had a son.
So, are they using child care?
Some of them, some of it's being utilized in child care, yeah.
Because it seems like if there were two children, it would be more than $300 a month.
Oh, no, they're more. Anyways.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It seems like if you put in $300, that seems incredibly low if there's maybe two children being looked after. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not $300 a month. It's 2 months of $150 for $300 for the year.
Well,
yeah, that's incredibly cheap.
No, that's a child over a certain age, Michael. Under a certain age, it's like $250. So it's $250, and then it pops down to $150. So it's complicated, you know.
On the budget we're looking at, it's the $300 is not per month; it's for the year.
No. I'm saying,
Yeah, it's not enough money, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So we'd like to see that. I have a note here to myself that it doesn't make any sense anymore. So, is there an election in 2020, but fiscal year 2021?
There is. Right.
Okay, so we need election expenses in there.
Let's start in June. So the higher in March, actually, right?
Well, board election expenses is in there on line 70.
Line 70.
I'm sorry, you're
right. Zero.
Yeah. You're right. Okay.
I have a projected amount, but most of these projected amounts I'd stop looking at. They don't really relate to much. Okay, so moving on, we come to telephones. Now, we had $112,000 in 2019. And in 20, the date is $91,000. So I'm not seeing $1,000 in there. Although, let me clarify that what is in this telephone line item is a lot of stuff, including all the telerep charges, or most of them, other places, too. But it's in here, which it should not be, when we first development, that's where it goes, and we need to. So, and then we're paying T-Mobile about $1,000 a year. I mean, once we take Telerep out there, I'm barely seeing how we're going to get it down to, I'm not seeing how we get it down to 81,000. What's going to get cut?
Well, as far as telephone expense, we did use Finality, and that kind of gave us a cost savings there. I think Danielle has sent you a breakout of the cost savings regarding the telephone. So,
no, I haven't seen it.
Right now, T-Mobile for the phones for the employees, we pay in about estimated about $350 a month. $400 a month for the T-Mobile.
Maybe $500.
No, I have never seen a bill from T-Mobile for $500. I've always seen them. The most I've ever seen was $410.
Hmm. Anyways, just for in 2020, it leaves 69 to date. Whatever. I mean, whatever. Just please tell me how you're going to get it down to $81,000, which is your budget. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, there's some, you know, written out that I haven't seen, but so, no, I can't approve this number because it doesn't seem real. Okay, moving on.
If you're breaking up.
I'm breaking up.
If you were speaking, I couldn't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I see on line 76 internet connection. We have had previously no issues in this line item, so since otherwise we have Time Warner elsewhere, and I see this as an unnecessary expense.
Alan, on this.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that this budget does very well on the expenditures other than personnel. They've been cut by about 35%. The previous other expenditures were $1.6 million, and it's cut down to just about $1 million even. That's a 35% cut, and that's very good. I don't think it takes a lot of explaining.
I don't know what you're saying, Alan.
You read the email that I sent saying what's going on. I compare the existing with the proposed budget and all these items, and they're doing very well on other expenditures. But personnel went up by 6%. No wonder we're losing money. There, I'm through.
Okay. Okay.
So that's pretty good, Kim. 35% cut in expenditures and operating expenses. That's pretty good, I would think.
What are you saying?
I said a 35% cut, in which Alan, you just mentioned, is pretty good in cutting back the operating expenses.
Yeah, I couldn't talk about the numbers, so we'll do that when we get there. You know, we're still looking at a $500,000 deficit, so something, you know, we need to do something.
This is not, you know, let me just say something. This is
sure.
Not logic science. Basically, this is a budget. If you want to,
I said 35% cut.
Okay, you know what?
Besides,
I'm calling back in because I'm either I'm picking up you or so so talk amongst yourself. Well, now it's better. Thanks. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. It sounds better. Could just be from the road. So this internet cable connection line item come out. Postage, UPS.
That's not going to come out. It's going to stay there. Because we have to have that for the newsroom. The newsroom occupies, or not occupies, but utilizes.
I understand that, Barry. You already have that covered in line 106.
Okay, so we're not going to take that out.
You already have that covered in line 106. That's where it is. That's where your Time Warner Spectrum cable line is. Okay? So unless you need to, you know, then move it out of line 105. Either way, you're double counting an expense, and you're looking to cut expenses, not sort of goose them up. So either one, you know, either there or line 106 news, AP Reuters.
No. Time Warner Cable is not in line 106. Time Warner Cable is in line 76, not in line 106.
Okay. All righty then. Well, you know, I'll double check my numbers. I will double check what I've been looking at for about a week. Okay. Line 79. Got NFCB there. In 2019, you have $7,200. That is all this renewal, the Herlick renewals. We won't be paying that. It shouldn't be in association dues and periodicals and MFCB.
The Herlick contract goes until November of 2020. It does not end until November of 2020.
Okay, November 2020. Okay. So
we still have to pay that in that expenditure.
Okay. In my opinion, it does not go under association dues, periodicals. It goes under development or, you know, computer. But, I mean, so if Herlick was in this, in 19, you know, what's in there now? And where did that Herlick go? Okay, so that that $1,500 are the 2 months of, you know, that. Is that what you're thinking?
You're cutting in and out.
Oh, shit. I'll come back.
Kim has dropped off the conference. I guess she's calling back in. Fred here.
Yeah, it seems to me she was cutting in and out. I couldn't understand what she was saying.
Right. I don't know if that's her phone or what. So do we just, I guess we have to just wait for Kim. Okay.
I'm here. I hope this is better.
Alan Beek's still here.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Are we ready to move on? Line 80, consultants. Anybody want to deal with that?
Well, I know why they said he was eliminating them, but this shows 13,000 for it.
Well,
yeah. Who is being paid as a consultant right now? Does Barry know?
Yeah, that's correct. We have Tony Bates is one. Stan Mergerat is another one. And Jonathan Carmen is another one.
So Tony Bates is being paid as a consultant? Is it correct?
No, he's being paid as a contractor, independent contractor.
Okay, well, my question was, who are we paying as consultants?
Okay.
I know there's nobody. There are some contractors and no consultants.
It's all contractors, yeah.
Oh, okay, so in the category that says consultants, temps, contractors, there's no consultants, there's no temps, there's only contractors. Is that what you're saying, Barry?
That's correct.
There's no temporaries.
As far as I can, as I know, there's no temporary. The ones that I've written checks to, no.
Well, what about the people that temporarily, if I can use that word, work in the phone room during phone drives and things like that, or the front desk, Mary at the front desk? Is she considered temporary?
Yeah, Mary's temporary, and then also Mansoor, he works temporary.
Okay, so we're paying these people when they come in and work temporary?
Correct. But I don't pay them out of the operating account, so they get paid through Paylocity when they do put their hours in.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear you, Barry. You said they get paid how?
They get paid through Paylocity when they do have hours to be allocated for payment.
They're on payroll, in other words, Dave.
Yeah, well, that's the point I'm trying to get at here. And, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, we didn't pay these people, at least under, say, Leslie Radford's stewardship before the current general manager took over. And why are we doing it now, especially since our payroll and consultants and temporaries and things of that nature has increased our overall person expenses. I don't want to use the word payroll just yet. These people used to do these jobs for free, and now we're paying them, from what I gather. I know that Mansoor used to work in the phone room overnight and not get paid. We've got a crisis. We need to cut the budget. I don't understand why we're paying Tony Bates or anybody else. And is Tony Bates being paid like the same amount of money every month? I don't know. Am I okay to say what the figure is on the air here, Kim?
I would be vague.
Okay, so my understanding is that we are paying him a low, four-figure salary, but a consistent same salary or same payment. Not salary, that's the wrong word. Same payment every single month, Barry, is that correct? I mean, has he been making the same dollar to a penny every month?
No,
that's not
correct.
Well, that was my question. I just want to hear the answer, Kim.
Yeah, he's paid on the hours that he's worked. It has gone down drastically in the last 2 months. I think the last check I wrote him was for $600 for for the month of June, I believe it was. So it's gone down drastically.
Okay. But we haven't, in this budget as it was presented, it seems like we have overinflated revenue in a few areas and our now, not literally payroll, but our payroll-type expenses, which includes regular payroll expenses and consultants, temps, and contractors, it seems that that's gone up, and we haven't made sufficient cuts to meet our 30% mandate from the PMB. Has the general manager considered cutting these positions in order to make our mandate of 30% cost reduction from the PMB? Can you... do you know that, if he's done that, or if he's going to do that, or how firm is this budget, in other words? I mean, it's just been thrown out here to see what happens, or
I know
where's the rest of the cutting going to come from, in other words?
Well, like I told you before, when I mentioned to you, he's in negotiations with the union to have a voluntary layoff, and I think 2 to 3 people have already mentioned that they will take it. In addition to that, the independent contractors have had their hours cut back drastically prior to COVID-19. So he has cut back tremendously in the personnel costs.
But that hasn't happened yet. So, I mean, he hasn't cut back cost yet. Okay, but I mean, we're looking at numbers on a piece of paper right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if that's going to happen for sure, well, then let's see those numbers reflected in what we've been presented.
Well, he doesn't know that right now. So
I get that. I get that. But so then that means we are looking at these numbers that represent right now. That's my point. And with the general manager, I mean, because I asked a question that, in my opinion, only the general manager can answer. So, I mean, I would ask some, if he was here, if he would do the grace of honoring us with his presence at these finance committee meetings, like we've asked him to do all year long, and he's never attended, except once maybe for 20 minutes, then we could ask him what the probability is that these cuts are going to happen and what kind of percentage effect that's going to have on the budget. Because right now, while we're having this meeting, all we can do is ask questions about what's in front of us. So, I mean, if we look at these figures here, I mean, I would eliminate all the contractors, consultants, and temps getting paid. We have to do something to cut our cost down. And you know, I mean, this isn't a budget that's been presented thinking we're going to get some people to take early retirement or to leave the station or hoping they're going to. No, we're seeing figures like they're still here. So, I mean, if that's going to happen, then these figures are not correct. They haven't been filled out properly on this budget. That's what I'm driving at. We can only look at what we're being presented with. That's all I had to say, Kim.
All right, moving on. We'll get back to this at some point. You know, obviously, you know, I mean, the whole payroll thing is a bigger issue, and
yep.
There's no line items for severance and all that stuff, so there's.
But it's
a
so
lot
easy
more.
To cut contractors, temps, and consultants. That's the bottom line of the
I
point
understand.
I'm making, and that should be done immediately.
I understand.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep. Okay. 81 professional fees. God only knows. I mean, you know, who knows? Legal settlement. Who knows? Insurance expense. So I have talked about this before. In 2019, we paid $62,000 and change, and last year we paid $700 for this current year, and I've asked about the insurance, and it was like, well, I don't know, maybe it expired.
Hmm.
So now we have $10,000 in the line item. I would like verification of the status of the insurance. And I did write to Livia, you know, 2 months ago when I was like, hey, we don't have any insurance. What's going on? And I, you know, of course, she has more important things. At some point, somebody needs to take a handle on this.
The national office is paying our liability insurance, as far as I know.
Yeah, but this isn't liability insurance. I will write a email to the PNB and MFC and saying, look, you know, this was earthquake insurance. Please let us know or let somebody know what the status of this insurance is. Okay, this is not liability insurance. Bank charges, how are they going down? You have $13,000 and they were $17,000.
Yeah, how do you cut the bank charges?
That's what the monthly bank charge has been in the last 6 months. About it hovers around between $900 and $1,200 a month.
Well, what happened to the rest of it?
What do you mean the rest of it? It's $1,100 per month.
You're saying they got lower in the last 6 months?
No, I told you it fluctuates. Like for the month of June, we paid $1,051.96 for Bank of America charges. So That's about right on, right there.
Well, the last year was $17,000. So let's see what it is year to date. It's $9,500.
Related to the listener support?
Pardon me? No, it's
aren't
not. No. These are just what Bank of America sticks on the bank statements every month. So right. This year to date, we're at 9,520, and we got how many more months left in the year?
We have three more months.
We have what?
Three more months.
Yeah, so maybe. All right, look, that's fine, you know. Conference training, you know, 2019, there was $451. You want to put in $2,500. This year, there was nothing. So out of the blue, you want to stick in $2,500 when you can't pay stuff. It's not something I would put in there, but, you know.
We had Allegiance training, too, you know.
I have notes on that. Where exactly, that would not come under this line item, but exactly where are all the Allegiance charges and bills and, you know, expenses? Under what category is that? Because I haven't seen any of that. And where is that?
Well, it would probably be under conferences and training.
Okay. Well, year to date, it's zero.
Okay. Well, I have to take a look at it to see where it is. I can't just pull that up right now, but I'll look at
okay.
that.
Okay. Make a note. Yep. I would not put the Allegiance training there, but or the Allegiance purchase or whatever we're paying to Allegiance. I would not put that there. It should go in development because it's, you know, a tool for.
It's probably in the line item 111. That's where I think it's at. 5680 maintenance and technical.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Nope. Nope. Okay, well, we can check on this and, you know, we can put a pin in this for now, as they say. The travel, local, and, you know, far away, you know, this didn't used to be a thing, but lots of people are traveling and getting paid.
They're going to have the Democratic National Convention and also the Republican National Convention. So we've allocated money for that.
That would not go in this line item. That would go under programming.
No.
It's a category in programming.
No.
Okay.
Hotel expense goes into travel. Airfare goes into travel, okay?
No, it doesn't. It goes under programming because that's what it is for. Anyways, okay. Let's move on.
This is Grace for the SAC regarding
that
issue.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. The Democratic Convention is going to be done over Zoom. It's not going to be done at a live place, number one. So you can cut out that expense. And then we cannot afford to send people to the Republican convention. We'll have to get help from an affiliate or something from who is local to that area and use that at a less expense. We cannot afford this kind of thing. I want to say, in an overarching way, I just saw an article that I'll send to everybody. This is very ominous. NPR radio ratings collapse as pandemic ends listeners commutes. NPR has gone down since coronavirus by 25% in their listenership, and they're doing better than commercial radio. Commercial radio has gone down even worse because NPR has more professionals. So we need to realize that our income is going to be going down. This budget should not assume that there's going to be a parity of income, that our income is going to remain the same as last year. This is fantasy. We have to look at significant cuts and a balanced budget. This budget is not balanced. It's unacceptable. I think ultimately tonight or whenever we finish this, we need to send it back and say, not approved, send us a balanced budget. We need to have in the National Finance Committee, it was stated that, somebody stated that the shortfalls at KPFK are 34%. National Board wants mandated for at least a 30% cut in expenses.
Okay,
it looks like that's too low an estimate. I want to see a balanced budget that shows at least 30% reduction in expenses.
All right, Grace, we're trying to get there. So we're just going over it, Grace.
I understand.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. We go over line by line.
This is Dave. Can I make a comment? This is Dave.
I want to speak on the stack.
Oh, God. Okay.
And Michael Novick?
Go ahead.
He sent all of you a sample budget, which does just exactly what was asked for. Comes in 30% cut, is balanced, explains what the fund drives are doing that it's based on. Just look at the emails I've been sending you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Alan. I heard Michael Novick. Anybody else?
Dave
Johnson? Dave. Okay, Dave. Did I hear Michael or not?
Yes, after Dave. That's fine.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to make a comment that we need to cut out travel expenses, period. We can't afford to send Margaret to Heidi, and we can't afford to pay for Christine Blasdale or anybody else. And I agree with what Grace has just said. The Democratic Convention is going to be all done remotely, and we can't afford to send somebody to the Republican Convention, and we need to completely cut out and eliminate these travel expenses. That's all.
Yeah, I'm just a comment. The Republicans aren't even going to the Republican Convention.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, this is related to what you were asking about the allegiance. There is a line currently, 134, under development expenses, which is listed as Memphis renewal, which we've dropped Memphis, but it still has figures every other month, I think, or, well, several months. We're total about $1,500. I assume we're not really paying for any Memphis since we stopped using Memphis. So,
he just said our contract goes until November.
Let me just take a look at the line. No, but it's showing figures all the way through to the end of the 250 again still. And column S is another 250, and column Q is another 250.
On what line item?
134, development expenses, Nemesis renewal.
You're looking at not at the budget. You must be looking at the P&L, right?
I'm looking at the KPFK FY 2021 budget LSP.
I don't know what you're looking at. I couldn't hear that.
Line
134 on my budget is premiums from PRA.
No, that's 135.
No, that's premiums from other vendors. Oh, you're looking at 133. At least that's what my, sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it shows 1,500 in there.
Yeah, it shows. I'm saying it shows 250 down to the last month in the fiscal year, which would be like next December.
I don't know what you're saying. It should be $757 in October, $757 in November, because we only have 2 months, into 2021 of that contract.
Well, apparently I looked at the same document. I don't have to tell you. The document I got has different lines and different numbers. So let it go.
But the thing is that in the P&Ls, Perlick is not in this line item. I forget when we get further down, I made a note of it. It's not where we think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it's under administration charges, which it should not be. Or maybe it's something else. We'll get there. Okay, so the local mileage, we all sort of agree, cut. Back in the day, it used to be the only expense in there was the engineer who would get paid for mileage for going to the tower, going to San Diego to check out that, translator down there in Santa
yes.
Barbara. That yes. was what, was in travel. Now, everybody, there's lots of travel going on in here that's not that. So, you know, we're just going down. We're going to, you know, as Gray says, we need cuts, and we're just saying this doesn't look good to us, so y'all got to figure it out in management. We're just, you know, we're just advising here and just going over to see what's in there. So line 88 is accounting. We don't have any expenses last year and probably no expenses this year to date, and all of a sudden you want to put like $3,000 in there. Why? Hello?
Were you asking Barry?
Yeah.
The reason why we put that in there for $2,900 for accounting is because for outside services or something of that nature. That's why that was put there.
Like what kind of outside services are
like
you anticipating?
One year we hired, I believe it was accountant, did some work for us.
Okay.
So I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't approve this. Okay, you haven't had any last year. You know, we're not. This is just not the place to hire outside accounting help right now. Office expenses and supplies. See, this is one of these weird categories that a whole bunch of stuff is in. So it's really hard to know what your idea of office expenses is and what my idea is. So in 2019, there was $22,000, and this year you're saying you're going to cut that a little more than half. But in that line item, you have an expense to the California Secretary of State, I think. California Association, I don't know what that is. Long Beach Public Med something. And you have.
So what are you crying about? It's been cut in half. The expense has been cut in half from last year. I mean, what is your problem?
Well, the problem
what you
is
do. You want to cut the expenditures, right?
But I also want to put items in their proper place and not sort of have stuff all over. The other expense in here is printers. There are printer expenses all over this general ledger.
That's office expense.
Okay. Last year, 2022, yeah, you're cutting out a lot of these, like, extras. In 2019, you had plumbing in there, you had construction in there, you had more printing in there, plus a whole bunch of employees in there. So it's just hard to compare apples to oranges. And what actually do you consider office expenses? Because what I consider office expenses, which is like staples and those kinds of things, are actually in other places, weird places.
So office expense for staples goes into office expense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Staples, printers, toner, all that goes into office expense. Paper to order, all the ancillary supplies go right there in office expense.
So what was Long Beach Public Med?
Alan Beek to the stack.
I don't know what Long Beach Public Med is. I don't know what that is. I know that the water filtration system is put in there too.
What?
We have water filtration systems at the station.
Right. What does that have to do with Long Beach Public Med, which is short for something?
I just told you I don't know what Long Beach Public Med is.
Okay. Okay, Alan, go ahead.
Well, you're all thrashing around with that horrible, hopeless scheme of naming all the things that we have to use because it's our traditional framework. and I have suggested that we might consider looking into the system that Meadow wants to use, which they think is very superior.
Alan, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you because this is off topic. We're not talking about software and what, you know, Netta software is and our software, okay? We're getting through this. We're almost done.
We want to talk about solutions, and that may be a solution.
We're talking about the budget. We're talking about the budget right now. Just stone cold numbers going down line by line. We're almost through. Let's just, you know, try and, you know, drill through this. Line 91, penalty, no, this is state filing fees. I would think that the California Secretary of State expense would go there, but no, I guess it goes in office expenses. 92, fines and penalties. Now, apparently we have paid the CPB issue for $42,000, but I haven't seen it on the P&L, so I'm hoping it'll show up there. Hello?
Yes?
Yes, that's going to probably be there.
Okay.
It hasn't been classified as of now, as an expense.
Okay. So a bigger issue, and I want to come back to it, is this rent and lease of stuff. And the whole, but when we get to development, this postage meter, we really need to drill into.
This is Dave.
Go ahead.
Storage rental?
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden we're going to start renting some storage?
No. That's been on there for 10 years. And
no, I understand, but he does show it as zeros, and then all of a sudden it's 262.
No.
Would you like to clarify?
No. Yeah. Column X is 2019.
Okay.
Column X is 2019. Column V is his projected thing, which is not very, you know, not what I'm looking at.
Okay.
This is fine. I need to leave the call.
I'm on the PNB Development Task Force, and it starts in a minute.
Well, I'm sorry you have to go. Any other final thoughts that you want to leave us with?
I agree that the allegiance expenses have to be on here somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye. Okay.
Kim, could I go back?
Yes, Brad. Yes, please.
Can I go back to line 90, which is property taxes? I notice we have $10,000 allocated. Actually, it's $9,900 allocated for fiscal year 21. I thought we were getting the property tax exemption, which would have dropped that down to basically $1,000 a year. What's the status on that?
The status is I've not heard from the LA County. Reduction in property tax has been submitted. I haven't heard anything back from them yet.
Well, how about the lawyers the two law firms that were hired by Pacifica to deal with that? Have they been involved?
I haven't seen any invoices for legal fee for that. So I don't know. I haven't seen anything about that concerning that.
Okay.
Although we did pay Brenda Chavez. She was a lawyer that we paid, I think, $350, but I don't think that was pertaining to that, though.
Okay. All right. I kind of skipped over that, Fred, because, you know, I don't know. Line 95, utilities office, you have in the budget $38,000, and what we paid last year was $44,000. So I'm not sure why you think our utilities is going to go down.
Well, the utilities are going to go down because there's no one in the office. Everybody's at home. And most of the lights are turned off. So we do have a reduction in that.
Okay. We'll see between May. Have you gotten your bill for March, April, May, and June?
Yeah, it has calmed down a little bit.
How much? $10?
No, it's more like $250 decrease.
Okay, I still, well, $8,000? I don't know. I mean, are you really thinking, is management thinking that nobody's ever going to come back into the building?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the COVID-19. With the recent spike in the number of people getting infected, they have rolled back the quarantine again.
Yeah,
so
I
they've
know.
Closed down all the restaurants and bars and everything else. And they recommended that everybody stay at home.
All right. Well, we'll see how this goes.
Kim, this is Paulina joining the meeting.
Oh, hello, Paulina.
Hi.
If you want to follow along, we're going over this budget sort of line by line. We're on line somewhere still in administrative.
95.
Yeah, utilities. Okay, repairs, maintenance, general. And let's take a look at line 101 here, because line 101 is other administrative expenses, and you have in there $46,600, and in 2019, in that slush fund, line 101, you have $13,607. What was $13,607 spent on? Omrani construction. So that would be going actually under the repairs general maintenance under line 96. And therefore, the expenses in 2019 for that would be zero. So that brings 2019 expenses for repairs, maintenance, general, to $58,000. And, you know, you have $37,800. Do you think certain general manager is going to be able to, like, cut $20,000? Because he loves this line item. Just saying, you can do what you want. I'm just, you know, correcting the numbers and just saying about that. Computer maintenance. So anyways, line 101, in my opinion, line 101 should be zero. There, you know, if it's anything more than $10, it's like,
okay, line
why
101
can't that be
should not be zero. Should not be zero. Let me interject. That number is placed there because of we are going to have to pay the interest on the FJC loan. So I allocated that amount of money there for the repayment of interest on the loan.
Well, okay. Well, we'll see, but that's a helpful explanation. Okay. So computer maintenance. In 2019, it was $4,766. And year to date, it is $1,400. And next year you want to put it at $20,000. So I know you wanted to, GM said he wanted to make cuts here, but this, you know, we got to pull these expenses out from other categories and put them possibly, you know, where they belong. Like in computer, and not in other places. I don't know. What is TechSoup?
That's computer maintenance. Yeah.
Right. Wouldn't that go in this line item?
Yeah, it's probably in there. Yeah, you're right.
No, it's not. It actually isn't. It's elsewhere. And Tech
How
Impact.
Do you know that?
Because
I
spent the last week looking at the general ledger, Barry. How do you think I know?
What category is TechSoup in, Kim?
Oh, I will. I will get back to you on that because I have notes, but I'm just, you know, I.
You said you knew it. You said you knew it.
Kim,
yes?
TechSoup is a nonprofit that supplies computers at low cost to other nonprofits. They're nonprofits.
Yes, I know what it is. I just didn't think it belonged in. Well, it's hard to.
I know it's in that 6680 account. I think that's where it's at. The maintenance technical, that's where it's at.
Correct. Correct.
That's
correct.
Where it is.
Yep. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, maintenance technical is different than ongoing computer expenses.
Okay, well, that TechSoup expense is not in that line item.
Well, you know, we got to figure out what is in this line item. For the last 2 years, basically nothing has been in there. So now you're increasing it by, like, almost $20,000 and saying you're making 30% cuts to computer. So this needs to be straightened out. I'm just saying this, you know, we need to straighten this out. So all the, you know, expenses are places where we can find them and can compare them to, you know, so when we cut stuff, you know, anyways, it doesn't look good if you're making cut and you're adding $20,000 to, you know, computer maintenance. Okay, depreciating personnel, other admin, okay. Let's see. So in line 106, we have the news services, we get city news, and this is where Time Warner is. Just saying.
Right. That's right.
Right. But you also have it above in, you know, where we discussed it earlier. So it's sort of double in there. I would take out the other one because it's new. Anyways, maintenance technical. Okay. Maintenance technical. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. Well, let me go back to line 108, which is blank. What are you going to do about the ratings, about Radio Research Consortium, sometimes referred to as Nielsen's? Are you canceling it?
No, we only pay, like, Nielsen's, like, I think it's, like, every 6 months we pay them, but I'm not sure.
No, it's quarterly.
I don't think it's under the programming services.
Yes, it has been. That's why I'm bringing it up here. It's about
$15,000
a year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
That's right, then. Programming services.
But there's nothing in there. You have $500
yeah.
in there.
Correct. Yeah, I'll make a note of that.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Grace.
Go ahead.
We need to keep the RRC.
I understand.
Nielsen.
Barry just said he would make
That's
a note.
That's my opinion.
No, Grace. Barry said he would make a mistake. It sounds like it was an oversight.
Okay.
So you're considering all of the air conditioning repairs under this category now?
What line item are you at now?
111.
11? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is where TechSoup. Okay, this is where TechSoup, Tech Impact, Herlick is, and we have
exactly.
a couple. Yeah, well, Herlick shouldn't be in there. It is not technical maintenance. It is for development software. It goes in development. Anyways, Stream Guys, that sounds like it's a website expense, right?
Stream Guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a website.
Okay, well, that should be moved to website. It's not maintenance, you know, technical maintenance. It is, you know, website. In there, what is education pub mail?
What line item are you on now?
I'm not on a line item. I've seen this in various places, and it's in here. It's in this category, education public mail something. You have MailChimp in here. Meva, shouldn't Meva go in website, because that's, you know, when people pay to buy a T-shirt, it goes through Meva. Isn't that a website expense?
Not necessarily. It could be web design, you know, to buy web design with the station's logo.
Okay, fine. But it goes in something website, not in technical maintenance and, you know, technical maintenance, okay? It's an ongoing expense. That's part of the website expenses. Anyways, you got office supplies in technical maintenance. I don't know why. And you have PayPal expenses, or something's going on with PayPal in here. You also have $5,000 for this year and last year, USDA Forest Services. That obviously goes into line 115, rent expense, tower, forest services. Okay.
And that's where it was put in.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Forest, USDA forest should have been put into that. To that.
Right. It's in 6680. For 2 years, you know, so whatever. That's why, I'm seeing it here. I don't know why something called FileMaker goes in here. That was last year, but that should go in development because, you know, that's a computer program that is used to track the fund drives. So, you know, in making cuts and figuring out what we really need and what's sort of not, we just... These things need to be where we can recognize them, in my opinion.
Okay, where in development would you put FileMaker in? What category are you going to put it in? None of these pertain to that at all.
Fund drive expenses. Telemarketing. Fund drive expenses. You know, well.
FileMaker Pro does not go into fund drive expenses, okay?
What is it used for, Barry?
That's for the technical aspect of operating the membership software program.
Right. So wherever you're going to put Herlick, it should go there. And
it
should
go
in development.
Maintenance technical. That's where I put it. That's where I put it. Maintenance technical.
Okay. But that's not. Take a look back in previous years where it's gone, because it's not maintenance technical. That's like stuff for the tower. That's stuff for, you know, the programming. It's in programming category. It's not in development.
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I think, Barry, the issue is maintenance, the thing that Kim is really getting at there. Is FileMaker a maintenance thing, like if you had to buy a spare part for the computer or something? It's a software program.
It's only to maintain the software program.
Well, it's a software program. It's software. and then you use it to make files. And you could use it to make a file of donors, or you could use it to make a file of vendors, or anything, right? I mean, it doesn't sound to me like it. Maybe you could justify it differently. I haven't heard it yet, but I think Kim's issues with the fact that it's under maintenance. I don't think it needs to be under maintenance, is what she's saying, and I sort of agree with her.
Under programming.
Yeah, programming or development or office or some other category, but not maintenance.
Okay, well, then you tell me what line item you want to put it in under programming expenses.
Okay, let's figure that out. Let's figure that out when we get down there.
Yes.
The power rent. And I don't, you know, these are all sort of like, what are we paying something to Wells Fargo Financial in tower rent?
What line item are you on?
Rent 115.
Expense. Yeah.
Rent expense, tower.
Tower, Forest Service.
Okay, so...
There was that
rent expense is like it's the what do you call it? The Palomar satellite. It's the Paramount satellite, and there's one other satellite.
Why are we paying Wells Fargo Financial? I see mobile relay, Palomar, community radio. Those are fine.
Right.
You know,
right.
A little sort of weird, but you know
Wells Fargo
Financial other places as well.
Oh. Wells Fargo should not be there.
Okay,
it is there.
It is there, and it's other places, and you know I don't know why we're paying Wells Fargo Financial. Moving on to development. Credit card discount fees is going from $69,000 last year to $25,000 this year. What's going on? How is this going to happen if we're going to raise money?
Because the less amount of fund drives you have, the less amount of credit card charges you're going to have.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. But this is more than 50% cut. So you're expecting to make,
50% less?
More than that. Somebody else can do the math from like 69,000 to 25,000. I think that's a little more than 50%, but I'm not good at math. I'm not great at math, but even that looks, you know, anyways, this just looks kind of weird to me. You can't cut expenses by making stuff up, like we're going to cut this because we want, you know, I mean, if you're going to raise money, this is the cost of doing business.
And if you have a 30% reduction in revenue, you're going to have almost precipitously the same amount of cut in your credit card discount fee.
Let's put a pin in this. It's just like I'm noticing it. We still haven't fixed what we think the listener revenue will be. So until we actually have settled on that, you know, this is a hard one. I'm just saying, you know. Now, all of these direct mail things, they need to, in my opinion, be all put in one place together. There's, you know, quality mailing and this kind of mailing and that kind of mailing all over everything. You know, the GM
says... That's a little different, though, Kim. That's a little different because, you know, we have to send out tax forms for the people that have made donations. So we hired Quality Printing to do that mass mailing. So that's why it gets put in there.
No. Quality printing is all over the place in, like, categories. I was like, what? They need to be in one place. All of these mailings.
No, it's in one place. It's in the direct mail expense printing. That's where it is. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Direct mail is where all of quality printing is. Okay. Okay. And so you spent $5,000 last year in sending out in printing for people's tax files, which I haven't gotten for 2 years, but, you know, who am I? And then you spent zero on postage in 2019, and now you have $6,000. You have almost $10,000.
What are you talking about? What, zero in postage?
Oh, God.
What are you talking about?
2019, column X, line 122. No, I'm 23. It's zero. And now for the budget, it's $6,000. The amount of printing there was $5,000, and now it's almost $10,000. Do we have twice as much membership that you're going to send out tax forms to?
No, what happened was, you see, that postage subscription and renewal is $67.32. That should be the direct mail postage. That's what that should be down there. So I'm
right,
going to know that.
Okay. Well,
so
I mean, I just have a note that all of this postage, I don't understand. I'd like an explanation as we go down line by line, because the GM says he wants to spend, you know, do a lot of, you know, direct mail. So we need to have all these expenses in one place so we can look at
how much we spent
on printing.
He's also mentioned that he's going to do some type of mail campaign in August, and then another end-of-the-year mail campaign.
That's fine. Yes, I know. That's why all of these mail and postage, you know, line items need to be straightened out and pulled from around the general ledger and put in here, and so you can track it. So you can track how much did we spend last year, how much are we going to spend this year or next year. Okay, that's what we need, you know, because it's, I can't tell the difference in all of these. There are like six or eight different mailings and postage. And, you know, let's take a little closer look at this going forward. I don't know, on line 27, you have postage development. In 2019, you spent like $47,000. You're putting $11,000 in this year and zero postage. So I just don't understand how this is working. I don't understand it. I mean, I think I'm getting exhausted. I'm sure everybody else is. We're almost done. We can come back to all of this mailing and postage stuff because, you know, the biggest thing is I'm not seeing the postage on line 136, premium shipping. I mean, this super doesn't make sense to me. $4,500, and, you know, you're going to put it up to $10,000? And you're cutting the premiums from $282,000 down to $50,000. You know, I mean, oh, by the way, I found all those premiums from PRA that I've been, you know, complaining about for a while. They're all in the regular, in the premiums from other vendors. So there's a whole bunch of, you know, weird expenses in the premiums that, needs to go through. Can you tell me what these premiums are? Indigenous Environmental, $5,605. Salvadorian American something for $9,000. The People Concern, God, can't even read my writing. And Ventura County Commune something, like $3,980.
Yeah, that's where KPFK did some fundraising for the people that lost their homes in that fire. And then they also did some type of campaign for the Salvadorians. That's what that's for.
Okay, so this is all third-party. This is third-party fundraising, right?
Correct.
Okay. So this is, I don't believe, goes in this thing. But this is, this needs to be put on our public files, okay? It's not a premium to us. We're acting as a pass-through. We collect this money, it goes right out the door. And I don't know if we pay bank fees and all that other stuff, but this is not a premium. This is third-party fundraising. It needs to be reported publicly on the public file. It hasn't been done in many years. And it will, to anybody that's still awake and listening here, it will disallow us from CPB monies, doing this kind of third-party fundraising. CPB does not allow any of their, you know, people to do this kind of fundraising. Okay, this is for people who don't get CPB grants, and it's mostly for Christian stations. So this, you know, again, this is an FCC violation not to have this on our public files. There's a lot of other stuff in, we have an expense for RCS, radio automation in premiums. That's not a premium. We have a Fly Media, creative strategic things that's not a premium. Halo, we buy all this merchandise. I'm not sure how we want to handle that because merchandise is sort of different than premiums. But it's not, just so we know what's in there. There are a couple of those in various places. So, but I don't know how you cut it down to $50,000 and what you're going to do, how you're going to raise money. All this is a bigger issue. Fund drive expenses, last year, $21,000 spent on this, and there were lots of staff people were in this category. King Riley got almost $5,000. I have no idea for, you know, what he would be getting paid, $5,000 for fund drive expenses or year.
Let me interject, Kim. King Riley would always go to Costco and buy the supplies for the volunteers, so that's why that got put there.
Well,
during the fund drive.
But he hasn't donated it. He's getting paid for doing this.
He's being reimbursed for his expenses where he bought the money, bought the supplies himself.
Okay. All right. Well, you know. Okay. Well, I don't know what you're going to do with Adam because you're cutting these expenses from $21,000 to $7,200 and. Is somebody trying to say something? All right. Well, there's a lot of stuff here we're going to be coming back to as we go forward. I'll try and write some of this stuff up because I'm, you know, it's going to be hard to keep track of it. Community events, I don't even know what to think about that. How much do they have in potential revenue? I might have been seeing it, but I'm sure it's here. Community events. Okay, you're expecting to raise $30,000this coming year in community events, and I don't know. Okay, anybody else have anything else they would like to say? Because I'm done.
I'd like to make a comment. This is Dave.
Please.
Well, just on community events, I don't know. Are we talking about after the first of the year, Barry, like possibly in 2021? Is that when they're thinking, because, I mean, they just announced that they're canceling the Rose Parade this morning. I think people are not going to be doing anything community-wise, at least for the balance of 2020.
I was just saying that, I mean, I'm just asking you,
I don't think we're going to be able to do anything community event-wise in 2020, so are these figures based on the idea that we might be able to do something in 2021?
Yeah, that's for the budget.
That's true.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to hear him say it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, I just don't, I think that in a good year, making $30,000 is, you know, on $5,000 expenses is a challenge. So I don't know.
Yeah. We broke even on the big 60th anniversary bash, you know?
Maybe.
But it was close. And if we'd have made any money, I'm sure it would have leaked out in the news somewhere. Somebody would have probably come to a meeting to let us know about it.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Kim, we can hear you.
Hello?
Kim?
Yes. Go ahead, Kim.
She dropped off the line.
Oh, dear.
She'll be calling back, I assume.
Oh.
This is Paulina. I joined late. While Kim is gone, maybe I can make a quick comment.
Go for it.
Sure.
Thank you. So I'm not going to comment on specific numbers, as I didn't get a chance to hear all the answers or, you know, the questioning. I wanted to comment on community events in general. It's really my hope that the station manager and in conjunction with the business manager are thinking of all the options that exist there for virtual events. They have been very successful for other comparable media. You know, the fact that we're all COVIDed out and sheltering in place doesn't mean that we're not attending virtual town halls, virtual concerts, and the like. So there should be, I believe, you know, we shouldn't be cutting spending or projected spending, expecting not to be doing any kind of community engagement. That would, I think, be the wrong way to go, especially because just as we're expected to cut funds, we, you know, we are also expected to raise revenue, and the higher the projected revenue, the lower the expense cuts would need to be. And as we all know, I hope would agree, that austerity measures don't really help, you know, help our finances. They might cut funds, but they will also, you know, curb us, curb the enthusiasm of listeners if we're not investing in those initiatives that are low cost and high yield. And by high yield, I don't mean just raising funds, although I know this is what we're talking about, but also listener engagement, which will eventually, I think, result in, or has shown to result in, higher donations. We have to look at our numbers. So I'm not, Barry, maybe you can answer what, you know, what does it look like right now? What's, you know, what's the budget for investing in, community engagement? Thank you.
What line item are you talking about? Are you talking about
let me tell you which line.
Or?
Yeah. No. I'm talking about expenses. Expenses in the budget, and I'm looking at the proposed budget. One second. Let me go back to the right. I was looking at the P&L. Let me go back to the budget. I am referring to. One second.
This is Alan. I've got to check out because my battery has gone flat.
Okay. Alrighty. All right.
Almost
back.
Done, Alan. Thank you.
Oh, hi, Kim. Yeah, sorry,
hi.
I was,
No,
so,
that's fine.
Okay, great. Let me see.
There is no line item for it. There are all.
Yeah,
these...
well, let's say, yeah, I'm looking.
In any case,
Kim, while you were gone, Paulina was advocating for virtual community events.
Okay. Okay.
I was just saying. I was just saying that you know, even if we're all COVIDed out, there are very successful virtual community events going on that people have actually more time to attend because they're not at you know, necessarily at physical physically present at events. And I don't think we should be leaving that out. So I was trying to figure out the line item for that. But you're right. I don't think there is one.
No,
maybe there should be. Right. So it should be a part of the development, I think, right? I'm looking.
That noise.
Was
just
point
that...
of information. Point of information, Ken Aaron. Could I ask Polina a question?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Polina, you've been doing the special program about COVID, racism, and justice.
Democracy.
I don't remember what it's. Yeah,
COVID,
you've been doing
race,
a month.
Race, yes. COVID, race, and democracy.
COVID, democracy, and racism, whatever.
COVID,
but you must have done
about
five of them already yourself, right?
No, myself, I did four of them. And,
okay, so what were your...
I supervised 20 of them, yes.
So what is the statistics? How many attendees? How much income? How much membership? What you say they're
uh-huh.
successful. What is success? Give me the numbers.
Okay, so...
I mean, and just give me the numbers. No. Give me the numbers in the best ones, the best five. I don't expect that they were all home runs. But even what were the top numbers you got?
Well, remember that so great question, Ken. First of all, remember that this was national programming. We did not ask for money during those programs because they were also aired by our affiliates. And so our statistics, that's exactly what I wanted to know. I went into the KPFK office, membership office, and I asked Terry if he had those numbers, and the answer was, well, actually, because they're changing from MEMSIS to Allegiance, they can't provide the fund drive totals for when the show aired. The show aired at 6 a.m. every morning from Monday to Friday for 4 weeks, right? I really wanted to bring this to the committee, but unfortunately, the answer I got is that because they're still learning how to use Allegiance, they can't give those numbers to us, Ken. And that was my very first number, my very first question. You know, how much was donated during that 6 a.m. hour when the national show aired? Now, the national show aired not on KPFK only. It also aired on the other four stations, and it was picked up by over 20 affiliates across the network, probably even more. Its value goes beyond what it may or may not have brought to KPFK. So that's my answer to you. I have absolutely no idea.
What are you referring to when you said online events have been successful?
What I meant by other people's online events done by comparable media, like, let's say, people who organize and do fundraisers online, online fundraisers where everybody gets on Zoom and we all watch a movie together and then talk about it, or we all, talk about a specific topic, or, whatever format, even online concerts, right, have been replacing in-person get-togethers. And when I see that the projected expenses for, let's say, us hosting community events is down to zero because it's expected that there will be no community events because the community is not congregating, I'm trying to question that. I'm saying that it's not true. The communities, the many communities that Pacifica and KPFK specifically should be part of, are congregating. They're just doing so online in virtual spaces. That's all I was saying. But, I wasn't referring to programming expenses. I was referring to actual Pacifica being a media sponsor or a presence at community events where we can network virtually, network online, and be an important presence for people in the spaces where they're congregating now, because people are congregating, just not in person, virtually. That's all I was referring to.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Kim, I would remind you that we're getting to the end of the meeting.
Back to you, Kim.
Yes, I know. I mean, yeah, I'm just letting people wrap up and you know, ask questions or, you know, figure out next steps and all that. So, yeah, I take Paulina's point. There's nothing in this budget, in our, if we look who's on staff, you know, we have about three people who are basically doing the old school fundraising we've done. And how successful has that been? As we're getting more people doing that, it only the fund drive days increases and the per day is down, you know, pretty significantly. These are questions, you know, for the LSB to, when the budget gets in a little better shape. You know, my issue is, like, if you want to make cuts, you have to know what we're spending. And it's been difficult to really track, you know, what we're spending and on what, you know, from what I've been looking at. It's going to be a big job cleaning this up. I'm not sure, you know, how that'll be, but we have to know what we've been spending money on in order to know what to cut or how to cut. You know, again, it's a conversation of what are the priorities. That's a larger question.
Kim,
further meetings, but yeah, go ahead.
Kim, I was going to ask the bigger question is, does management know that information? If we don't know it,
well,
you know, it seems like there's a possibility even management doesn't seem to know that those details.
Right. So, you know, look, I set another continuation meeting for next week. I don't, you know, I wasn't sure we'd get through this budget. We have. What does the group want to do?
Well, I vote for another continuation meeting, seeing I missed almost all of this one.
Well, it's all going to be on audio, Steve. We're not going to repeat it. I can assure you that. Or,
well, no. I mean getting together again, not listen to or the recording thing.
Well,
that was saying, right? Want to get together again next week?
Well, I want to see what the group who's listened to everything today wants to do.
This is John for the Q. This is John for the Q.
Hi. Go ahead.
Me, John?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I had a bunch of errands to run. I missed the first hour or so of the meeting. I came in about 5:15. I've heard a bunch. And had to drop out again and come back in. But I have some comments, and the general comment is I basically agree with the approach you're taking, which is essentially to basically work on what we used to call the chart of accounts, which is essentially the descriptions of the various expenses. And I completely agree that we need to get a better handle of that. And I heard all that stuff about, you know, the file maker as, you know, being in one category and all that sort of stuff. So, I think we're on the right track with doing that. And secondly, I think that with regard to COVID, you know, we've asked the management to give us a forward-going budget based on prior actuals. But the fact of the matter is, we've never had a COVID budget before. We've never had people working at home massively before. We've never tried to do virtual fundraising, as Paulina was suggesting before. So I think basically the budget is we'll get with something, and it's going to be iterative. I support Steve's idea of a continuation meeting. I'm willing to do it, meet again next week or whenever you guys want to do it. So those are three comments right off the top of my head. I think it's tough. I think there's going to be a lot of interaction there. There used to be this guy, Ephraim used to be here, and then he went up to the national office. I don't know if he's around, but he used to give us spreadsheets, Excel spreadsheets, where you could put the mouse on a cell, and it would pop up and give you a description of that particular item. And we haven't been doing that for a while. It was extremely useful because it allows us, without having to do a meeting, for example, if I had one of these spreadsheets with the annotated cells, I could spend some time at home and go through it and do a lot of thinking, and we could all do that in parallel, and then we could have a meeting, such as Steve suggested, the continuation meeting, to go over that stuff. But I really think that we really need to work hard on the chart of accounts, and especially in view of changing that going forward. And I also think that with regard to that, we're probably not the only station that has to right now, it's to compose now, its first ever COVID budget. So they're all going to want to have, all four other stations are going to have the same problem. So while they're ordinarily would be resistant to changing the chart of accounts, they need to update their budget for their COVID budgets. So those are some of my thoughts. I'm done.
Okay. This is Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
I might be the only one who, well, maybe Fred. Did Fred give an update on the National Finance Committee meeting that took place yesterday?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. So we did pass a timeline for a national budget, and I believe we did resolve that the ICFO have an email communication with this week with the local station managers about their budget. So, you know, there will be also a communication between national and local to that respect. I think that's important. And as far as our work, the work that's laid out for us, that's my question. Do we have a proposed timeline for when this budget should be approved? Are we hoping that next week we would approve it? Or
This is just an early draft because I asked for it because I sort of have been through this before, and I'm glad we got this early draft because it's really, really early, and we have time to make it, get some more clarity. Which I think everybody needs. There's just a lot of work. I mean, you know, we asked for a plan for the rest of the year. Barry earlier on told us that they're doing a fund drive in July and August. How much per day are you expecting, Barry? We didn't ask that for this fund drive. Have you figured that out?
Barry is still on the conference, Kim.
Yeah, we're looking for the July 28th fund drive. We're looking for $500,000 for 3 weeks. The fund drive is going to run for 3 weeks.
July 28th, it's going to run for 3 weeks, and you're going to make $500,000.
That's the goal.
Okay.
We're probably going to fall way short of that, but that is the goal.
Well, you know, you had a fund drive February, March that, you know, went for 6 weeks. Didn't it? 6 weeks?
Five weeks.
And it was, you know, less than 500,000. And, that was before the shutdown. So these are the kind of numbers that scare me because they're not based on any kind of reality that I'm aware of. I mean, what are you going to do?
Can I intercede for a minute?
You have 3 weeks.
It's 21 days.
That is not what we're going to get.
Yeah, but it's a goal. Yeah, I want to fly and live on water without having to eat. 21 days into $500,000 is $23,000 each day on average. When was the last time you had a sustainable $23,000 a day? It's not a realistic target. It's maybe a false target so that somebody can say we're going for 3 weeks and then go for five. But it's not, you're not in the realm of reality.
Well, in all practical purposes, it's probably going to be extended, probably.
Probably going to be extended. That's right. So that's a false thing. You know, it's a false thing for the listeners and for the staff and everybody.
And for us who have looked at these numbers for a long time. I mean, we can tell that these are fake numbers. This is, we're never going to raise $23,000. I don't even know the last time we raised that. I'd have to go back into my, you know, charts. 5 years ago, maybe. We're raising $12,000, $13,000, $15,000 max.
Max. This is Paulina.
And we were raising $5,000 for the last month. Go ahead, Paulina.
We did have recent pre-COVID daily averages of above $20,000. But
no, we did not.
No.
We might have had 1 or 2 days, Paulina, but Fred, as an average, yeah.
Fred here.
Right, 1 or 2 days. You're right.
Fred here.
Yeah.
The February fund drive had a daily average of 15,000 a day.
Right. That's right. And so
and that's pre-COVID. That's pre-COVID.
Right.
And so and October one before that. So, you know.
I stand corrected. That's correct. The daily averages have been dwindling for years. Now, I just wanted to go back to something that I wanted to check on. There is an upcoming fund drive, and I know that people get busy. There's also a national effort to pass a national budget. A national budget cannot be passed until local budgets are first approved.
Right.
The deadline to pass a national budget is October 1st. Actually, as a matter of fact, we want to approve it September 22nd, which is the National Finance Committee meeting before the fiscal year 2021 starts, which is October 1st of 2020. So it's important that this body, in conjunction with our general manager and the business manager, work towards making that possible. The national cannot pass a budget without local budgets being approved first. So I would like to bring that to everybody's attention to make sure that we do hurry up in terms of our timeline to approve a budget. However faulty it may be, I'm not saying we should just, you know, say whatever, but let's work as diligently as we should and as quickly as we should. Thank you.
But the
number
budget,
one, Paulina.
Fred.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah,
go ahead, Fred.
Thank you. That's all correct that you stated, Paulina. But this budget that we've got so far is not ready even to go to the National Finance Committee. It's not... Mm-hmm. It's not anywhere near ready.
It's not even ready to go to the OSB, you know, number one.
Right.
Number two, I am not passing a faulty budget, Paulina. Not going to happen. There's no
Neither
reason
might.
For it. Not and number three, we, in some ways, are at the mercy, again, of the NFC to come up with their central services. Okay, that's another missing part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we all would like to have, you know, the fiscal, you know, the budget be approved by the fiscal year. It hasn't happened in 6 years,
okay.
You know, 7 years. So, you know, I that's why I made a motion a month ago to let's get this budget thing going here. But, you know, look. You know, do people want to meet next week? And what are we going to do? If we don't have a second draft, what can we do, really? I mean, should we pass a motion? We want a second draft by next week?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yes. I would say yes.
This is Ken. This is Ken.
Go ahead.
I would think there's anybody on this committee, we could make prepare motions for another meeting in a week, not to ask them to make another budget, but to instruct them how to make the budget. come up with a proposal like Dave said, eliminate all transportation except for the guy going up to Mount Wilson if necessary, and eliminate all contractors and make specific intentional things that we recommend they do. And I understand management's going to say, we manage, you don't. That's fine. Governance is recommending that you make these changes because asking them to do it again, come on. That's like you get a bad house, you know, guy paints the house and he does a bad job and you say, well, paint it again. No, they're not going to come up with a good budget. So we can, but I think the people here, let's say me, Wanger and Kim and so forth, make specific recommendations. We go over them on Wednesday. We approve them on the committee. We submit them to the LSB or directly to, you know, we just break the rules and submit it directly to the business manager and the general manager. Because, you know, I don't want to stroke through another month waiting for the LSB to approve something. We've got to get on the stick with it. And I think some people are knowledgeable enough to say, look, this is the best we can hope for. And, you know, maybe we got a union. So the union doesn't want us to go out of business. Then the people employed here lose their jobs. So maybe people have to go on halftime or something. I don't know. But we have to come in. We can't afford to lose $500,000. And we have to expect lower income this year, lower income.
Right.
Okay. John, that's what I would recommend is people prepare motions that are very overt motions, and we review them on Wednesday, a week from now.
John Interhue.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I support Ken's idea. I think that this is the time of the year where this committee really needs to jump in there with our collective expertise and observations over the years. We just need to do it. Ken's right. We're not going. Well, we have it specifically from Annual. I read it today. He said it's going to be really busy going forward. Okay. So, that basically leaves Barry. Barry's been part of this call. He's heard our questions and all the rest there. We can have a dialogue with Barry, and have an interactive dialogue with Barry, and come up with recommendations going forward by next Wednesday. So I think this is what we have to do, and it really comes down to community. Our expertise, Barry's expertise, we meld them together, and we try to improve the chart of accounts so that it makes sense to everybody, and something we can explain to the LSB and also justify to the NFC. And if we get it past the NFC, the PNB will probably go along with it. So that's my thought. Thank you.
Well, I certainly have always, you know, I mean, if not now, not when, because, I mean, I know, you know,
right.
This is the time to put in extra work, not only because KPFK is sitting at the bottom of, you know, a dumpster fire, but this is the time for budgets, and it's just, you know, we can take a break after this. Have a long break anyways. So, anybody here object to meeting next Wednesday? Are you going to be available to do it, Paulina?
I will be available. Unfortunately, I have a live show to do at 6 p.m. So this is the thing, 4 to 5:30 is the most that, I mean, if we do it earlier, if we meet earlier, it would be much better for me. Let's say I'm available on Wednesdays as of 2 p.m. Pacific hour time.
Yeah, 2 is better for me too.
Yeah. So it would be much better if we met around 2:30, and then I can stay for the duration of the meeting.
Yeah, I don't know. Otherwise, Barry wants to meet that early.
I want to make another suggestion. This is Ken, if I could just interrupt for a second.
Uh-huh.
I think as we make these proposals, whether we work as two people teams or whatever, we should submit them to Kim Kaufman as the chair of the committee, and so that she could organize them for the following meeting and oversee them, and, you know, maybe some – I'm not saying – I don't expect that she would outright reject them, but, you know, she might say this should be checked and so forth. So I don't think we should wait to the meeting to pop them out, because what will happen is Wednesday morning, people will start writing their ideas. I think instead we should start writing them, including Paulina. She comes up with an idea and send it to Kim, and Kim can shuffle them together and organize them and arbitrarily assign a priority, what you think is the most important, and then we'll handle it next Wednesday, not waiting for the meeting.
Okay.
So that's what I think we should, if Kim will accept, let her corral these ideas. And I know Dave Johnson's going to come up with a bunch. And but we shouldn't. Well, you may even decide to distribute them to the committee prior to the meeting on Wednesday. So,
yeah,
you know,
also,
I'd rather not wait for Wednesday.
Okay,
so we should,
I'm also, sorry.
You're up
go
for
ahead.
That, okay? Good.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I'm also available for phone calls, you know, if you know, I dumped out a whole lot of information today that I have notes on and got to go back and write them down. Well, I don't know what else we can do.
This is Paulina.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So what did you think about Ken's proposal? I quite
no,
like
no,
it.
No,
it's
fine, fine.
It's just,
fine.
Yeah, it's just a question of whether you would have, are you willing to do that, kind
sure.
of be the repository for our
sure.
ideas and kind of put them all together in one place? Because that would be very helpful. I think we're all overwhelmed with a number of emails and things slip through the cracks, sometimes despite ourselves, and it would be really helpful if you were to just put them all in one place and present them to us prior to the meeting if possible. And
okay.
Yeah. Might be too much to ask, but hopefully not.
No. I mean, I'll do the best I can. You know, if I can, you know, we can still email or phone each other and say, hey, you know, it should be all manageable. You know, you know, yeah, it's a goal.
Hmm.
I mean, somebody's got to start somewhere,
right?
Okay.
And I apologize for being late for this. So, question again, Mrs. Paulina, if I may be recognized.
Yeah. Sure.
So, are we agreed on 2:30 p.m. Next week instead
well,
of 4?
Well, let's ask.
That's the question.
I mean, Barry said he doesn't want to really meet at 2:30. He doesn't like meeting early in the afternoon.
Okay. Well, so maybe 3 or the earliest Gary can make it. And otherwise, I'll be late. I'll be maybe half an hour. I'll have to leave half an hour early because I'll have to be off the call at 5:30. That's what I'm saying. And I don't think this committee should stop for me because I'm really a programmer, not necessarily a finance person, but nevertheless.
Yeah, but you're the rep on the NFC, Paulina.
That's exactly right, which is why
right.
it's important. That
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Barry, it's up to Barry. Barry, he's on the call.
Yeah.
I mean, do you object to meeting earlier next week?
3:00 will be fine.
Okay.
Okay, I endorse 3:00. All right, I asked to, can we adjourn? We have another meeting coming up, a governance meeting.
I was going to say we should have gone into closed session to, because we didn't make a report out from last, but since we're doing a continuation meeting next week, we can do it then. You know, I like to follow the rules, you know, call me kooky. See you all next week at 3:00. Thank you all for, you know, being here and going through this. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.